Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
All right, I want to preach on this subject this morning, why we love Christmas. Why we love Christmas. When you look in the book of Genesis, a long, long time ago, before there were Christmas trees or presents or Christmas carols, there was nothing except God. There was a time or space or even the beautiful planet that we call home, but there was God. Before the creation of everything around us, God in his wisdom and omniscience, he had a plan in motion that included what we call and what we celebrate as Christmas. God actually knew what he was doing when he meticulously planned every detail. Despite all the messes that he knew that we would create, despite all the chaos that we have unleashed on each other, God had a plan for it all. Amen. Before the creation of the world, he not only had a plan, but he also had a plan for the Savior that he knew that we would need. He chose where he would be born. He chose the circumstances he would be born into. He chose how his life would be lived and would unfold. And this is what it looked like when that plan unfolded. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 in your Bibles says this. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Hallelujah. I love this passage of Scripture because in verse 18, it starts out with, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. And then in verse 23, it ends with, God is with us. Amen. What a wild, crazy, unorthodox plan. Now, I know that Jesus wasn't actually born on Christmas. I don't want to disappoint any of you, but Christmas is the season that we celebrate his arrival. Amen? Also know that back in the day, we probably hijacked a pagan holiday, but don't you love how Christians make everything better? Right? We make it all better. Amen? So don't get hung up on that. Amen? There's so many things that we love about Christmas. But let me just share a few of them with you today. Reason number one, what I love about Christmas is when Jesus came, a dark world received light. Amen? Yes. I usually like to start the Christmas story where I did today, the scriptures that we just read. In the first century, reading through either the Gospel of Luke or the Gospel of Matthew, their account of the birth of Christ. But in reality, the Christmas story started way before those historical accounts. The Christmas story even started before history itself. You got to go all the way back to the beginning. And in John chapter 1, it tells us a little bit about what was happening all the way back in the beginning. I want to read several verses to you that really are a part of the Christmas story. And they're important to this story. John chapter 1, verse 1, I'm going to read some verses. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not that light. He came only as a witness to that light. And then look at verse 9. I love this verse. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Hallelujah. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And then look at verse 14. The Word, remember it said in the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. That was Jesus. That was the baby in a manger that we celebrate. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's why Matthew, in verse 23, it said, his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. When Jesus came, the dark world received light. Verse 4 said he was the light of all mankind. Verse 5 said he was the light that shines in darkness. Verses 7 and 8 say John came to testify about that light and to be a witness of that light. Verse 9 says he was the true light that gave light to everyone coming into the world. And in verse 14 it says he was God in the flesh, and he came to dwell among us. Fully God, yet fully human. Son of God, yet God robed in flesh. Amen. Humanity and deity all encompassed in a beautiful baby who would become our Savior. See, it's crazy to think about, but Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, through whom all things were made according to the Scripture, chose when and where he would come as a baby and cry for the first time. God chose the smells that would be around him, the parents who would raise him, the city he would be born in, all of it. And this should really humble us as we celebrate Christmas to know that God could have chosen a wealthy, affluent family, but he didn't. He could have came through a priestly lineage, but he didn't. He could have been born to a king of a powerful nation, but he didn't. Amen. God could have chosen a moment where crowds of thousands would have been gathered to sing his praises and celebrate his birth, but he didn't. He could have chosen any kind of way to come into this world that would have immediately caused people to mark the day on their calendars, but he didn't. See, we've picked the day many centuries later to celebrate him, but he didn't come that way at all. He came into a dark world that was busy creating our own mess. He came to be a light. John said, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Many millions or billions of people have walked on the face of this earth over the generations, but they didn't really know life until we got to experience life with Jesus. Till Jesus came, who was literally life himself and the light of the world, he willingly came into the darkness to drive it out and to conquer it once and for all. Amen? See, there's no reason to be afraid of the dark anymore. Amen? Because Jesus was and is the light. You know, maybe one reason I think that we all love Christmas time, or maybe not all of us, but most of us love Christmas time so much, and maybe we don't really make the connection, is to see how the lights, they shine brightly in our on our Christmas tree or in our yards or in our neighborhoods or in our windows, you know, and we see that light. And for a season that we know is Christmas, even people seem to shine brighter, don't they? They seem to just radiate a little bit more warmth and a little bit more kindness, a little more generosity and gratitude. Maybe it's because deep down we all know that this season is about being grateful that God came into a dark world so we could desperately receive his light. Amen. That's why we love Christmas. When you turn on the lights of your Christmas tree today, I want to encourage you to just take a moment and think about the light of the world. When you drive down your street and you see lights in people's windows or lights in their yard, look past the minions. Look past all the inflatables, all right? Look past Rudolph and Santa. And I love all that, by the way. But think about what we're doing. We're celebrating the light that came into the world. And his name is Jesus, amen? I don't know how minions got to be so popular at Christmas, but hey, I'll take them, amen. Thank you for being the light. Here's another reason that we love Christmas. Christmas lets us believe like kids again. Amen? Christmas lets us believe like children again. One of the many things that makes Christmas so great is to watch the wonder and the awe that our kids have this time of year. Amen? Some of them are waiting patiently for mom or dad to bring their gifts. Some of them still think Santa might be bringing them, and you know, that's fun too. Some of them can't wait to decorate the house or light up the tree. This week I was talking to Ava, and she was telling me about Santa at school and another couple places she saw Santa, and I told her that Santa would be at church on Sunday. She said, oh, that's good, Dad, but I know that that's not the real Santa. Now, I didn't ask her who the real Santa was, but don't you love the innocence that a child has? Thinking about things like Christmas. Thinking about things like life. Some children, they can't wait to see their grandparents or their family members from far away. Some of them are enjoying staying up late and eating cookies. Some of them are so thrilled to have 2 weeks of break. Amen. Christmas really does bring out a sense of wonder that nothing else does. And I think God intended even for us adults to believe in him with the awe and amazement and wonder of a childlike faith. I think one reason we love seeing this in our children is because we've let some of it die within ourselves. Can we all admit that sometimes life has a way of beating some of the childlike faith out of you? Life has a way of kind of robbing some of that innocent joy that we all used to enjoy so much. But Jesus said this, in order to truly accept him, we've got to do it like children. Luke chapter 18, verse 16, then Jesus called for the children and said to the disciples, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to who? Those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, verse 17, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child, we'll never enter it. We're supposed to receive the kingdom of God like a child. What does that mean? Well, first of all, there's a difference between having childish faith and childlike faith. Amen? But see, there's this tension that takes place in us as we begin to grow older and begin to mature. And we begin to kind of make our way in the world so that we won't be crushed by it. There's this tension, and we understand that without Jesus, the world can be dark and selfish, and in our faith, we must be mature enough to, could you bring me my water, please? To learn what is from God and what is not from God. We put, the Bible says, childish things away, thank you, so that we can protect the ones we love. We grow in our faith in order to make it through challenging times. We got all that, right? But then there's the other side of that tension. And that is, while we have to grow into maturity, we still have to embrace and hold on to a childlike faith. And you know, it's really sad when we lose our sense of wonder and imagination, and that light kind of goes out of our eyes. You know, I don't know about you, but I see jaded people a lot. They're mad, or they're bitter, or they're complaining, or they're cynical. Maybe they're hurt. Maybe they're depressed. It can be caused from any number of things, but they've lost their ability to believe. Christmas helps us reconnect with that ability to believe. See, we got to be childlike. Think about this. In order to accept God and all he has done. We can't completely put away the openness and faith of childhood, or else we're going to miss what God still wants to do in our lives. Think about it. How else can we accept the fact that a baby was the hope of the world unless we have childlike faith? How can we even believe that a teenage girl, Mary, becomes miraculously pregnant by the Holy Spirit without having childlike faith? How else can we believe that the angels had a party and shepherds announced his arrival, that a star shined brightly and navigated them to the Savior, amen? How else can we do it unless we have an element of childlike faith? How can we believe that a guy named Jonah got swallowed by a whale? How can we believe that a man named Noah built an ark and saved all of humanity through 8 people on a boat? How can we believe all of the many stories of the Scripture without that childlike faith? How can we believe that the same God yesterday is the same God today and forever? How can we believe that the God that saw us through 24 is going to see us through 2025? Amen? It's childlike faith. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." Verse 13, it says, they are reborn. That's one of the places where you hear that term, being born again. They are reborn. What? Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. You know, a lot of times adults might laugh something off, but kids will lean in with wonder and with amazement. Adults might ask, how could this possibly be? But kids simply enjoy the amazement and they respond with joy and wonder. And they just accept it for face value because they haven't been burned enough or hurt enough or lied to enough yet. We got to get back to that in our walk with Jesus. And so for those of us who can and do believe, don't become an adult of God. Remain a child of God. Take off your adult shoes and your adult hat and your adult gloves for just a little while and say, God, I need to have childlike faith again. That nothing is impossible for you. Folks, this year experience Christmas through the eyes of a child. Maybe like the video that we just watched. Get down on their level and have them explain the Christmas story to you. Amen. Don't you love that? I didn't know that one of them brought French dishes to the Lord. Amen. I did not know that Jesus had a doll playset. Amen. You'll hear some crazy things from children, right? Don't you wish that you just had that childlike innocence again? Ask them about the Christmas story. Ask them about angels in the sky. Ask them about a star that led the way to Jesus, the wise man's gifts, a baby in a manger. Listen as they describe it. Do you have that same excitement and awe as they do? And finally, one other reason that we love Christmas, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come. When Jesus came, all of creation rejoiced. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2 said, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." You want to know why I'm sitting in a church on December 22nd, 2024, in Mechanicsville, Virginia, is because I came to worship him. Hallelujah. All of creation, which was made through Christ, including you and I, rejoiced at his birth. Not just the people who celebrated the birth of Christ, but creation himself. The angels sang with heavenly praises. Even John, I mentioned to you John. Guess when John had his first encounter with Jesus? It was when both of them were not yet born. Mary walks in and she's pregnant with Jesus. She walks into the presence of John and his mother. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, when John got close to the unborn baby Jesus, he leapt within his mother's womb. He rejoiced just to be in the unborn presence of Jesus. Even a star guided people from far away to see the face of God, who was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. See, it was that moment that all of creation stood still and had been waiting. Even those that didn't know it. Jesus would later say that if people didn't praise his name, the rocks themselves would cry out for him. Creation rejoiced when he came. The Apostle Paul said that all of creation was groaning to see the day of Christ. And at Christmas, creation celebrated. And I've got to ask you here today, if the stars can celebrate him, if the trees of the fields can wave their branches, hallelujah, if rocks and rivers and oceans can recognize his voice, hallelujah, if the planets in the solar systems all owe their existence to him, if the sun rises when he tells it to and sets when he says for it to set, if all of creation can acknowledge him, I just want to know if you can stand with me today and give him a praise. Come on, hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Since all of creation was made by him, through him, and for him, we can also celebrate him. That's why we love Christmas. By the way, that's why I don't get bogged down in all these conversations about when he was born or this element of the thing. I don't get bogged down in all that. You do you. I'm going to do me, because Christmas is about me celebrating Jesus. And I think that's what we need to remember. He came. He was born. God's elaborate plan was put in motion. A baby born to save the world. A baby who would grow and would amaze people even as a teenage boy. A baby who would walk on the face of the earth for 30 years and then publicly minister for 3.5 years and do miracles and raise the dead and open blinded eyes and touch them and have conversations with people that everybody else avoided. You know what I love about Jesus? He went to the people that other people avoided going to. A Savior that the Bible says took stripes upon his back, and by his stripes we are healed. That's why we celebrate Christmas. A Savior who was put on a cross and died for my sins. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, he rose again, and the world has never been the same ever since. That's why we love Christmas. And for those of you today, maybe you've had a hard year. Some of you have suffered loss. Some of you, maybe it's not just this year, but every year the holiday brings up painful memories. I get that. I understand that. You think about lost loved ones. You think about things that didn't happen or shouldn't have happened. I just want to encourage you for just a moment. Try not to think about that. And I want you to think about the light that came for everyone in the world. The light that wants to shine into the dark places of your life. The light that wants to set you on the right path. The reason that we celebrate today, Jesus, who came for our sins. The praise team's going to sing again. And as they do, right where you are, I just want you to lift your hands and let's just begin to worship the Lord together. Can we do that? Can we sing together? And let's celebrate Jesus, because that's why we love Christmas. Amen.
Receive her King, let it Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.